Welcome to the History Reviewed channel, where we analyze the lies and deceptions of history. I enjoy listening to music, and for quite a long time I've been thinking about whether there is an anthem that we could have for our race, and if so, what would it be? When I was a kid in Rhodesia, they actually had a competition for a national anthem. Because Rhodesia had rebelled against Britain, and the whites had declared Rhodesia to be a republic, but a republic where only the whites can vote. And they didn't do it through apartheid-style laws, but it basically boiled down to the same thing. So they had a competition, and there were quite a lot of entries until eventually they chose a national anthem. So the cool thing about living in a rebellious state, a state that's starting up and doing its own thing, is that we got to do fun stuff like this. There were many other little things that people came up with. There was even somebody who went and compiled a book, Encyclopedia Rhodesia, and I've still got a copy. It's very worn out, but I still have a copy of Encyclopedia Rhodesia. And those of you who live in countries, especially in Europe, where things have been stable for a long time, you don't perhaps realize the fun side of creating something new. It is filled with danger, it is filled with uncertainty, but there are also really cool things that you get to do that other people in other more placid countries don't get to do. I suppose it is part of creating when we are busy creating, and it must have been similar in the early days of America, of Canada, of Australia, of New Zealand, and so on. But let's first take a look at the screen, because I want to go through the images on the screen and what they mean. So, in the top left, you see that there are two images there with eagles, and it says, "Nothing to see here, move along." So, what are those images there? The one on the right is the American eagle. The one on the left, underneath it is written SPQR, and it is basically Latin that reads Senatus Populus Q Romanus, which means the Senate and the people of Rome. So the Romans had an eagle, and that was their symbol of power, and they took it with their legions when they went to war, and they basically told other people, you know, we are the representatives of the people of Rome. And so you'll see that this eagle then pops up everywhere else. Hitler used the eagle tremendously, because Hitler was a big fan of the Romans. So you can see Hitler there, and you can see an eagle behind him. The next image is a Roman soldier doing what would be called a Nazi salute, a Roman salute. And if you look in the bottom left, that photo, you'll see there is the Nazi symbol, and you'll see the eagle there with the aircraft flying above. And in the next image, you'll see all the troops there, and you'll see an eagle up here close. And in the bottom right, you'll see lots of Nazi flags. You'll see the eagle and the swastika again. So lots of military parades, and Hitler was using the eagle a lot. Napoleon also used the eagle. His eagles were carried into battle like the Roman eagles were carried into battle. So the real inspiration of the Romans remains. It has been copied over and over again, and all kinds of things from the Roman Empire exists to this day, and even democracy in the West is a copy of the Romans and the Greeks. So what you're seeing is that whites over and over again are trying to go back to the Romans and the Greeks. The Americans, everything about America basically boils down to the Romans and the Greeks. Even here in South Africa, we've got Roman Dutch law. The legal system of South Africa is based on Roman law and Dutch law, a combination of those two things. And that's what we use to this day. Much later, I'll return to the topic of Romans and things that we have learned from the Romans and many magnificent things about the Romans. The Romans are actually very amazing, but it's taken me a long time to get to grips with the Romans and to really get to see what exactly are the Romans like. What did the Romans really think, and how did they approach things? What was really in their minds? And so you've got all these liberals and weaklings and assorted scum who try to pervert what our history was like, and if they can't pervert it, then they'll try to make you feel bad about it, etc. All kinds of Jew crap that is being used to modify our values and to herd us in the direction in which Jews want us to go. But I want to give you a quote. Right in the bottom middle is a quote. And the quote is, "Timidi mater non flet." And basically it's a Roman proverb, and it says, "A coward's mother does not weep." A coward's mother does not weep. That's a very harsh thing, that, hey? That's a very harsh saying. A coward's mother does not weep. So, if the mother had a son and he ran away from the army or something, or got killed in some way and he was useless, his mother's not supposed to care. And the Spartans had something similar. There is a story that the Spartan mothers used to say to their sons when they go to war. They would say to their sons, "You either come back with this shield in victory, or you come back on the shield, dead." And that's what mommy tells you. Imagine a mother having that kind of attitude today. People would just find it unbelievable. And yet, that comes from our history. When I was working on one of my other videos, I actually came across a quote from Aristotle. It had to do with the topic of a just war. And in part, this is from a bigger quote, but in part, Aristotle was basically saying that there are some kinds of men who deserve to be enslaved. I mean, this is Aristotle, who's a very famous intellectual man from ancient Greece. And people are quoting Aristotle and looking up to Aristotle, but there he states, there are some men that deserve to be enslaved. Imagine in this wishy-washy world of ours now, that you had to go and say that in public, when in fact Jews and liberals and all kinds of scum are trying to say to white people, "Oh, you need to pay reparations to the black Americans because you were so evil and guilty of slavery." Meanwhile, Aristotle says, there are some men that deserve to be enslaved. There's nothing wrong with that. Just think about that. We are so different and so weak compared to our ancestors. Our ancestors were strong, determined people. And they had a harshness about them that comes from facing a life of reality and hardship, and they had to fight for their existence. For them to be defeated meant maybe to be slaughtered, maybe to be enslaved. Somebody defeats you and you lose everything, and their armies can come and they can do what they want. For them, disaster had real consequences, and they knew that they had to fight to defend their state and their way of life. And the people who did it the best, who eventually came out on top, were the Romans. And the Romans are a very strange people, because the Romans rebelled against the notion of kings. They had experiences earlier on when they were first formed. They were ruled by some kings. They absolutely hated being ruled by kings. So Roman society came into existence with this absolute hatred of kings. Once they got rid of these kings, I think these were foreign kings. They weren't actually Roman kings. But once they got rid of these kings, they vowed to never be ruled by kings again. And that is the logic behind the Romans. And that is the very same logic that the American founding fathers adopted. Was the same thing. America will not be ruled by kings. It will not be ruled by kings and dictators and single men with power. It will be ruled by the people. And that was working fine until the blacks came along, and now the Jews are there. And, oh God, America is in for a hell of a time. America will never be the same again, and white Americans will have to fight for their state. They will have to learn to be like the Romans and the Germans and to fight for your state. But the good news is that Roman democracy is awesome. And you know what? Roman-type democracy produced Hitler. Hitler came into being, and Hitler asked to have dictatorial powers, and it worked very well. For the Italians and the Germans, don't get stressed out over the issue that Mussolini and Hitler were dictators. Please, God, don't let that shit get to you, okay? That's a bunch of crap. I need to deal with that bullshit later. It's complete hogwash. You didn't commit a crime by doing it. There were many things, and there are many times when it is necessary to have one man have a lot of power so that he can do some stuff. It happened in Rome. It's happened in the past. And I want to tell the Americans that you may find this hard to believe, but let me tell you, in America, it's going to come down to that. In the end, you'll see the importance of the power of one. I've raised the issue of the power of one before with regard to Napoleon and Hitler. And I want to tell you, in America, you're going to need the power of one. And I've had a good look at Trump. Trump is too weak. Trump is the best thing there is, but he's still far too weak. You guys are going to need somebody like Julius Caesar or Napoleon or Hitler and the Wehrmacht. That's what you're going to need. You're going to need somebody who does serious cleaning up, who goes in there and does some serious, serious dirty work, and there'll be blood on the streets and all that kind of stuff. That's where this is going to. But I think that the whole Western world is going to end up with that. All of us have got that coming, even us in South Africa. We're going to have lots and lots and lots and lots and lots of blood running in the streets and everything. In the end, that's where all this Jewish crap, this liberal crap is taking us. And there's no way out of it. It's just going to be a bloodbath. But I've seen enough to tell you that I'm actually very confident for whites everywhere. It's not going to be so much a bloodbath of whites as it's going to be a bloodbath of, let's call it, the garbage citizens. All the garbage citizens are going to need some cleaning up. That's the lesson of history. That's how this thing works. That's how it's done. So returning to Mussolini and to Hitler, to the Italians and the Germans, don't break into any sweat and concern regarding your society and the fact that you had dictators. You had dictators because you needed dictators, because only a dictator would have the power to clean up your country. And that's what Mussolini did, and that's what Hitler did. Don't lose any sleep over that crap. Don't listen to all the Jewish liberal bullshit that there was something wrong with Germans, and Germans are criminals, and Italians are demented criminals. All that kind of stuff, it's just a bunch of shit, okay? It's just a bunch of shit. It's like a lot of stuff in history. I've read so much history, and then I read the history and I look at the things and I say to myself, you know, what are these bloody liberals and Jews whining about, these worthless sacks of crap? Take, for example, good old Machiavelli. Machiavelli wrote a couple of books. Machiavelli was an Italian at the time of the Renaissance, and he wrote these political books. He wrote The Prince. And I've looked through it, and Machiavelli, by the way, was a big fan of the Romans. Anyhow, all that Machiavelli did was he gave some advice to a hypothetical prince, where he wrote a book and he said, listen, if you're going to rule a country here in Europe, then you must do this and you must do that and you mustn't do that other thing and so on. And he basically gave advice. And I've looked at it, and everything Machiavelli said was reasonable. Machiavelli actually wrote a very normal, very logical, very reasonable book. But, oh God, if you have to hear all these academics and liberals and other sorted shit talking about Machiavelli, then it's like, oh, Machiavelli, he was so freaking evil. No, man, Machiavelli wasn't evil. He was just a rational, normal guy living in that time. He saw how things worked, and he gave some practical freaking advice. He wasn't a crybaby. He wasn't some weak, pathetic piece of shit. He actually gave some genuinely good advice. Probably the greatest piece of advice that Machiavelli gave that everybody uses is that Machiavelli spoke about the problem of having mercenaries. And Machiavelli basically warned the prince to never make use of mercenaries, because mercenaries can turn on you. And he basically said that an army must be made up of the citizens of the country. The only people that you can trust to fight for your country are the men in your country. And that's it. Don't get somebody else to do your dirty work for you, because even if they win, they can conquer you. So that is what Machiavelli basically taught, and that is why every single Western nation has got its own army. And that army is not composed of mercenaries. That army is composed of the normal people who live in that country, because those are the only freaking people you can trust. And it's very valid, very logical, excellent advice. And so you hear all this crying and whining, oh, Machiavelli, he's so evil. Machiavelli's evil devil man. Same old shit as they say about Hitler and so on. So when you hear all this garbage about Europe and Napoleon and Hitler and Mussolini and Machiavelli, just toss it on the rubbish heap. It has no meaning. It's a bunch of shit. Our race is very practical, very realistic. We're not babies. We see the world the way it is, and we deal with all kinds of disasters and dangers in a very rational way. We are absolutely fine. There's nothing wrong with any of us. There's nothing wrong with the quotes, racist, South Africans. That's a bunch of bullshit. You've heard a bunch of crap about the whites of South Africa. The whites of South Africa are very decent people. They're well behaved. They are honest. They do their bit of work. They try not to lie. They try not to cheat you. They're not perfect, but they most certainly are not the devils that they've been made out to be. Same thing for Rhodesians and so on. So just like the Nazis, you're just listening to a bunch of shit. Listening to a bunch of shit that come from liars and weaklings and all kinds of degenerates who are just trying to tear Western civilization down. So our society is based on having higher values, and I cannot stress enough the importance of the state. To all of you in Europe and America and Canada, etc., where you live in a state, you don't know what it's like when you've lost your state, when you truly have no state and no ability to make any laws. I do grant you the fact that you feel frustrated that you don't have power. You don't really have power because the only options that you've got is Jew-approved party A versus Jew-approved party B. So it doesn't matter which one you vote for, you aren't really going to get much in the way of change. It's just this one might have a red banner and the other one might have a blue banner, but basically they're pretty much the same freaking thing. So it doesn't really matter who you vote for. So I do understand that. In that sense, you're almost without a state. But you're not quite in the same position as us in Africa. And over here, I can tell you, lots of Boers and Rhodesians, what few Rhodesians are left, we do certainly wish we had a state. Because a state makes the laws. A state can protect you. A state can raise an army. The police can work for you. The army can work for you. Instead, we are ruled by another race of garbage that we have no relationship to, that are actually our enemies. They hate us, and they try often to see how they can make our lives more of a misery. They are unhappy that they've not been able to destroy us yet. But we're a bit of a tougher kettle of fish than they think, and they haven't seen the last of us yet. You haven't seen the last of white South Africans. You haven't seen the last of the Boers. But anyway, the Western world is just filled with all this weak scum, all these disgusting degenerates. One of my supporters is a guy from Poland who actually was on my old African Crisis website. And he wrote to me and he said to me that he used to follow me on my old African Crisis website. He'd lost contact with me and he went and looked for me again and he found me recently. And he told me that I think in the 1980s, that he had looked at whether he should go to South Africa or Canada. And he decided to go to Canada, which I agree with. A much wiser choice, because Canada is still in much better shape than South Africa. Anyway, this Polish guy said to me, he's just got one message, and it is that if you are brought to a point where you no longer believe in your culture, you no longer believe in your state, and you let things slide down, and you let things become degenerate, then you will be destroyed. And that was his message from Canada. So he's lived happily in Canada for all these decades, but he's seeing that Canada's going down. And all of these things that are going down from weakness. Jews are weak scum, and they bring all their shit into our society. They are garbage, and the way that they want to live is a garbage way, and it's impractical. Hitler pointed this out. He said that Jews live today in this city, tomorrow in Paris, the day after they live in London. Hitler explained this, and he said the common man cannot do that, and you cannot run a country like that. And these people are spoiled brats, they are scum, and they come into your country and they bring all their ideas with them, and their ideas will ruin you. It will shatter your nation. These people bring their garbage into your country, and if you adopt their crap, you will be destroyed. But they don't care, and they will be out of there, and they'll go and settle in some other country where they'll unleash hell over there. These people are nation-wrecking scum. That's what they are. Whereas whites are nation builders, and we've built not just dozens of nations. We've probably built thousands of states. In fact, if we had to go through our history, I would not be surprised if we created tens of thousands of societies at all different times in the past, going back tens of thousands of years. Our race has created not hundreds, not thousands, but probably tens of thousands of societies. We know how to live properly and how to organize things so that we can live in peace, we can live in safety, etc. Now you listen to all this Jew scum, these loser blacks, all kinds of other freaking weirdos, and you want to listen to these people and you think that they are going to help you. They know nothing. They are garbage. In the case of Jews, they are demented fiends with all kinds of ulterior motives. They will tear your country apart. But nations are built and defended by men like these in the photo, by soldiers like these through different ages. Those are the guys who create and defend and protect that state. And an offshoot of that is the police force. The police force is the next level of using force to bring about law and order in your state. Nobody can teach us anything about creating countries. Nobody can. So anyway, returning to Rhodesia, let me give you two songs to listen to in the quest of Rhodesians to create an anthem. The first song that you're going to listen to is a very cute little song. It's actually one of my favorite Rhodesian songs. And it's actually sung by children. So you'll get to hear these Rhodesian kids, these white Rhodesian children, singing this little song. And you'll hear them talking about how the country was created, and you'll hear them singing about our homeland, Rhodesia, and all that kind of stuff. And the words are very cute and it's very nice. But I didn't know where it came from. And one day I communicated with the colonel from the Rhodesia Association of Pretoria. And I said to him, you know, here's a nice little song, and I sent him the link to the song. And I asked him, what's the story behind the song? Because I never heard that song when I was there. And he told me that this song was one of the entries into this competition for the Rhodesian anthem. And I must tell you, I quite like this little song. And listen to the words. And it's sung by little white Rhodesian kids. It's probably done at some school. And I actually like it a lot, and it's real fun. So here it is. So how was that, eh? That was definitely done by a school children and singing with their Rhodesian accents, and that is the best quality of it that I've got. And we whites, we need to get on with creating again. We need to create new countries, new states, all kinds of new things, especially here in Southern Africa. We need to go on a creating streak to create some new white states in places where people think it's impossible. So the actual Rhodesian anthem was actually chosen on a European theme. So it comes from a tune that is known as the Ode to Joy from the fourth movement from Ludwig von Beethoven's Ninth Symphony. So once they had the tune, they then needed to come up with some lyrics, and they had somebody write lyrics, and it's called Rise, O Voices of Rhodesia. So here is the official anthem that was chosen by the Rhodesians, and it comes from Beethoven. It turns out that in 1972, the Europeans were looking for an anthem for the European Union, and they were the ones who settled on Ode to Joy from Beethoven's Ninth Symphony. So when the Rhodesians were looking for an anthem, despite the competition, they eventually selected, and this was in 1974, they eventually selected the same tune as that of the European Union. So, the only difference between the European Union's anthem and the Rhodesian anthem lies in the lyrics, that's all. So, here is the European Union's anthem sung in German, with the words in German and English.
Ja.
But there's another interesting set of lyrics for the European Union's anthem. This time it is in Latin. It's in Latin, the language of the Romans. So here it is in Latin with English subtitles. How cool is the European Union's anthem in Latin, hey? Doesn't that sound cool? And I love following the words and trying to understand the Latin. It's freaking awesome. And let me tell you something. When you hear Jewish sacks of shit and all kinds of other scum trying to tell us, oh, you know, we don't know how to do this and we don't know how to do that. You know what? Fuck off, okay? You cannot do better than the European race. We've got class. I might not have class, but we as a race have got class, okay? Anyone who tries to tell us that they know how to run a civilization, go screw yourselves. Go screw yourselves. Europe is awesome. I did 1 year of Latin in high school in Rhodesia, and I was very bored. But it was because I was stupid, and I didn't realize the importance of Latin, and how it is a important part of our history. In fact, in medicine, lots of names in the anatomy of a person are actually either in ancient Greek or in Latin. And doctors used to have to learn Latin. I think doctors and lawyers used to talk in Latin. And people in the Vatican also, even to this day, there are people in the Vatican who can speak Latin. Latin used to be something that you had to learn in certain fields of study, but it's not really used anymore these days. But Ben Clarkson, my favorite guy, Ben Clarkson of the Church of Creativity, Ben Clarkson actually believed that we should return to having Latin as our language. And Latin is amazingly compact, I must tell you. And if I'd thought in these ways when I was younger, then I would have done a lot better that year in Latin. But the big thing that I look at is that when I was young, I needed to have some kind of motivation to do something. There had to be a reason, and because I didn't know the reason and the benefit, I didn't take it further. And there were some subjects that I really could have done a lot better at if I'd had my head screwed on straight. And that is maybe why we need to do something like the Hitler Youth again. We need the Hitler Youth so that kids learn about their heritage, learn who they are, what they are, where they come from. And then they too will be proud and will be interested in learning all kinds of things and doing very useful things and contributing to society. So, just as an offhand remark, I'll tell you that I actually think that one of the greatest of the things that Hitler ever did was the Hitler Youth. The more I look at the Hitler Youth, the more I just shake my head and I say, you know, Hitler did many awesome things, but I must tell you, the Hitler Youth, that thing is fantastic. I will return to topics like that another time. But I made an interesting discovery the other day. I was looking around at Latin stuff a bit, and I came across a guy. As always, there's someone in our civilization, there's someone in our fantastic civilization that's gone and done something fabulous yet again, and you never even hear of this person, you'll know nothing about this person. There was a guy who actually wrote a book. He actually wrote a set of books that allow you to learn Latin. But here's the real kicker. This set of little books that teach you Latin are written only in Latin. So, have you ever heard of the concept that you could learn a language, that you could learn a language without having it translated into your language that you understand? Well, I would have thought that it's impossible to learn a language without it being translated into your language. In other words, if I want to learn German, I need to understand German words, but I need to understand in English what those German words are. Well, this guy did something else. The man in question is a Danish expert, and his name is Hans H. Aarberg. Hans H, the letter H, Aarberg, Aarberg. And he's written a bunch of books, and these books teach you Latin in Latin. And they are in a series called Lingua Latin. So you would think that this is totally impossible. Well, let's take a look at learning Latin in Latin. Take a look at the screen. I ran into this thing the other day and I didn't save it, and boy did I battle to find it for this video. So please forgive me, I don't know how to pronounce Latin. But we're gonna do a bit of Latin reading in Latin right now from a page in Hans Aarberg's book. So this is how he did it, and I think this is totally brilliant, and it probably is because our languages have some derivation and links to Latin, so that there are things that are familiar. So his book has got a drawing on it, on a page like that, and he's put some names there. So for example, there you can see a town or a city, and he's put Oppidum. And then there is a river, and he's put there Fluvius. And then there's an island, and the island, and next to the island, he's got the name Insula. So these things give you guidelines. So now we can read, and it says Imperium, because my understanding is that a V is often pronounced as a U in Roman. So Imperium Roman. And it says 1. Roma in Italia est. Then it says Italia in Europa est. Graecia in Europa est. So it's saying to you that Rome is in Italy. Italy is in Europe. Greece is in Europe. Then it says Italia et Greece in Europa sunt. So sunt means they are. Now, he's got explanations down on a margin on the right, which is supposed to help you. So the structure of Latin is kind of strange, but you will get some kind of idea. Now, if you go down to the next paragraph where it says 5, you'll see it says Aegyptus in Europa non est. So I take that to mean that Egypt is not in Europe. Aegyptus in Africa est. So Egypt is not in Europe. Egypt is in Africa. Then it says Gallia non in Africa est, Gallia est in Europa. So it's saying Gaul is not in Africa, but Gaul is in Europe. Then it says Syria non est in Europa, sed in Asia. So Syria is not in Europe, Syria is in Asia. And the whole book works like this, and it goes from page to page, and it builds on the Latin, and you can then learn Latin by reading Latin. And I suspect that because our languages, many of our languages have got some kind of Latin links, this stuff might actually not be that difficult. It really blew my mind. I thought this was extremely clever, actually. Absolutely brilliant. People in our civilization are thinking up all sorts of things. There is nothing that our people can't solve, and we can solve it properly. We don't do Jewish liberal bullshit. We can really come up with really clever ideas. And this, I think, is genius. And apparently, lots of teachers, lots of Latin teachers, like this guy's books. Anyway, I think that Ben Klassen of the Church of Creativity would love this. Would absolutely love this. It's awesome. Okay, so we've listened to the Rhodesian anthem and the European Union's anthem, but did the Romans have any kind of songs that had a meaning for them? Well, the Romans had a marching song. The Roman army, which did insane amounts of marching, I must tell you. The Roman army had a marching song, and you're about to listen to it in Latin with English subtitles. And I want you to listen to this, but I'm also going to tell you what some of the words are so that you can follow this thing. Because what did the Roman soldiers, and just think back now, the Roman army is the most successful European army in the history of the world. There is no army that lasted for as long as the Roman army. No army lasted as long as the Roman army or fought the number of battles that the Roman army fought. The Romans fought everywhere. And all armies in the Western world, and basically all the armies of the world, actually use lessons learned only from the Roman army. All armies on the face of the earth that have got any kind of real ability, whether it is in Europe, and of course the Asians copy us, everybody copies us, all those armies are based on principles that come only from the Roman army. Everything about modern armies comes from lessons exclusively learned from the Roman army. The Roman army is the greatest army that ever existed. In terms of the length of time it existed, the enemies it fought, that army fought non-stop for hundreds of years. And in Hitler's table talk, he even at a point says he can't understand why the Roman legions couldn't just carry on conquering and conquering. There was no reason for the Romans to lose. And of course, then there's the whole issue of why did they go downhill? How much did Christianity and Jews influence them into going downhill, etc.? Let me just discuss a little bit about the concept of an anthem. Because we've now seen these different words to the Rhodesian anthem, to the European Union anthem. But you know, ultimately what we need is something that captures our soul, that captures our minds and our souls, and it captures the way that we really are inside, how we think, what we want, etc. So this Roman marching song, has got a message, and it's a relatively simple song, but this song really can capture the heart of the Roman soldier. So let me tell you some of the words, and then you'll get an idea for what you're going to see. Because you'll see the words in Latin, and you'll see the words in English. And you'll see how compact Latin really is. So the word legio, that is legion. The Roman legion is basically a military formation, for those who don't know. So the Roman legion is about similar to the concept of a division in modern armies. It's probably closer to a brigade. A brigade is about 3 battalions. A Roman legion is a little bit more than that. So a legion is the most important basic component of the Roman army. So you'll see that among the words are legion and eternal. The legions and Rome are eternal. They're never going to go away. And then you'll see that they use the word victrix. Victrix is victory. It's victorious. So the Roman legions are eternal and they're victorious. And you'll see it says things like destined to be eternal, our hearts for you alone. Destined to be eternal, our lives for you alone. So that really captures that there's an energy there. That this thing is something they are dead serious about. And it binds them to their state. And they are working for their state. And their state is going to live forever and win forever. So isn't that different to the total garbage that we have in modern, quotes, liberal civilization? Completely a different viewpoint on life. And none of this begging and crying and guilt tripping, none of that bullshit, okay? None of that bullshit. We're not going to be giving anything back to anybody. We are going to be victorious for all time, forever. Our state is here, and this is what we believe in. I have mentioned in another video about Roman supremacism, how the Romans believed that they were destined to win, that winning is like water running downhill. They are destined to win. And in other books I read where the Romans basically had the attitude that they were born to rule. And they're not just born to rule themselves. They're born to rule anybody else. You aren't going to guilt trip a Roman, okay? You're not going to go and say to the Romans, listen, you've enslaved all those people there. You need to give them reparations. If you had to tell Romans that, they'd probably want to kill you, because That is just total bullshit. Exactly as I mentioned with Aristotle, where Aristotle says, hey, there are some types of people that deserve to be enslaved, and that's right. You know, the whole notion that these whites had was a completely different outlook on life. An outlook on life that is so freaking different to the weak, pathetic, bowing down, groveling, begging garbage that we've become. These people believe in themselves, and these people are going to win forever, and their goal is to expand, their goal is to conquer. They're not giving anything back to anybody. The Romans will give nothing back. If you want it back from the Romans, it's either over your dead body or their dead bodies, but they ain't giving nothing back to nobody. So in the song, it has words like, from the scorching hot Libya, North Africa, flies the eagle of the legions. Over the land of the Britons flies the eagle of the legions. The Romans know that those aren't their lands, but they're going to conquer them and they're going to rule them. That's how the Romans looked on life. So you just sit and ponder that, hey? Now, take the Americans for example. The whites who conquered and settled the greatest piece of territory outside of Europe. Well, we should include the Canadians because they got the second biggest country in the world. But the Americans are more numerous. But let's take the Americans and the Canadians. They seized and conquered the greatest piece of territory outside of Europe that whites have ever had. And they thoroughly settled it, thoroughly dominated it, until Jews came and they're stuffing everything up. But imagine from a Roman point of view. The Romans would look at that and they'd say, yeah, that's good. Oh, you exterminated the Red Indians. That's great. And if you had to say to them, no, now we're thinking we must give it back to the Red Indians, a Roman would probably want to slap you. Because what kind of crap are you talking now? You came and you conquered and you ruled. And imagine the Romans and the Greeks. They'd look at those Red Indians and they'd say, you conquered them and it's awesome. And you know what? They deserve to be enslaved. They deserve to be enslaved. You did a good thing. That's excellent. And they'd move on. They wouldn't say to you, you must be guilt-tripping. You owe them so many trillion. They wouldn't listen to crap like that. Because in their minds, that would be total garbage. If the Romans and the Greeks had to see what the Boers did in Africa, what the whites did in Africa when the European countries decided to quickly colonize all of Africa in 20 years, they'd have said, yeah, that's good, that's good. Those people deserve to be enslaved. They deserve enslavement. That's the right thing to do. The Romans and the Greeks were not wussies. They weren't children. They believed in winning. And they set out to win at all costs. They didn't sit and have all kinds of other garbage nonsense in their head. They were completely different to the weak, pathetic things that we are today. Then, among other words, it says, her strength is italic, our duty to Father Mars. I'm not quite sure what they mean by her strength is italic, whether it refers to Italy. But when it says our duty to Father Mars, who is Mars? Well, Mars is the god of war. And it says our duty to Father Mars. Mars is the god of war. And there you have it. Now imagine you got to tell these liberals, hey, we got to serve Father Mars. You know, these people will be shitting in their panties. They're just not used to whites just freaking winning, okay, which is what we do. Our civilization wins. So, without further ado, here is the Roman marching song. And you tell me if this Roman marching song doesn't start grabbing you. Because this is about winning victory forever. We serve Father Mars. We will rule other people's lands. We will seize those lands. We'll conquer them and we're going to rule them. And we are going to carry on conquering. That's what we do.
Roma.
Senza eterni, vita nostra solo un tibi.
Lego eterna, eterna, vitis. Lego eterna, eterna, vitis. Lego eterna, eterna, vitis. Lego eterna, eterna.
Affermente sto salibia.
Vola d'aquila legionu.
Sopra terra Britannorum.
Vola d'aquila legionu.
Sit italica suavi.
Nostrum unus patri marti.
Sit italica suavi.
Nostrum unus patri marti. Lego eterna, eterna, vitis. Lego eterna, eterna, vitis. Lego eterna, eterna, vitis.
Legio, aeterna!
Aeterna! Vitis!
So how cool is that song, hey? That is excellent. I love that thing. And you can imagine that as a marching song. It's got a nice rhythm. And troops who are marching, they could actually sing that thing. And it makes those miles go away and they have a sense of comradeship and they are busy doing the work of Father Mars and they're going to be winning forever. How positive is that, hey? And that will give you a bit of an idea of how our forefathers thought. And they were successful people. And you need to say to yourself, not only did they believe in themselves, but they totally, genuinely believed in themselves, and they were determined. And as I explain the Romans more to you, you'll begin to understand how freaking determined the Romans were. They were nothing like these modern, weak, disgusting, filthy civilizations that we live in. And the closest that anyone came to recreating the Romans was Hitler. Hitler definitely got the closest in terms of the way that he structured things, the way that he taught people, the way that he got their minds fixed, etc. Everybody from the young to the old understood their role and they knew they're part of a team. And this team is a winning team. So let's look a little bit at military songs. The German army actually did a lot of singing. And it's actually quite astounding. Again, I suspect it's got to do with marching. it's got to do with just sticking together, making the most of time, building up their spirits. Remember, they didn't have internet, so they've got no communication with anybody, and they're alone, and they're just a group. And so singing is a way of bonding, it's a way of having a bit of fun, and it's very good for lifting the spirits. So this is from a movie, and it's called Das Panzerlied. So it seems to be a song for the German armor. And it's got English subtitles, so take a look at the meaning of the words. There are some heavy things in there. It's not a light song. But again, whites are not babies, and the Germans know about the reality of life.
Ob stürmt oder schneit und die Sonne uns lacht, der Tag glühend heiß oder eiskalt die Nacht, bestaunt sind die Gesichter, doch nur nicht unser Sinn, ja unser Sinn. Es
Todesgrube, durch uns das Schicksal abbricht.
By the way, I like the way that video begins with that with that sort of police car siren. But if you listen to the words, you'll see that they are saying that regardless of whether it's really hot or really cold, whether it's dusty, we've got a smile on our face. So these men know that they're going to be doing unpleasant things, but it's not going to bother them. They're not going to go and cry about it. They've got only unpleasant things to do, but they will do it with a smile on their faces. So they can be burning hot in the day or ice cold at night. They can have dust all over their faces, but their minds are happy. They are happy. They know what they are doing and they know why they are doing it. And they are determined to do it with their panzers. So of course it's pretty cool, whereas the Roman marching song is for the infantry, this song is about the panzers. So with their thundering engines and all that kind of stuff, it's just a more modern version of the same theme. And so it's got words like, that's how we thrust deep into enemy ranks. They're busy. They're busy doing the work of Father Mars. And so when they see an enemy tank, you know, it's full throttle. We're going to engage your enemy. It's not like we're going to run away. The enemy is going to kill us. No, it's we are going to attack the enemy. We're going to get to them and we're going to finish them off. That's the kind of attitude these guys have got. And then it starts to get heavy. It says, what does our life matter for the Reich's army? The Reich is more important than we are. If we've got to give our lives for the Reich, then so be it. And then it's got the words, to die for Germany is our highest honor. If you get to know the pagans, the pre-Christian Europeans, the pre-Christian Europeans used to believe that if you died in battle, that you went straight to Valhalla. So if you die in battle, then you go straight to pagan heaven, because it's the greatest honor to die in battle. And I hope that it gives you an idea for the kind of thinking that our race had. And so it's a thinking that tells you, you've got a duty to do. Everybody's got a job to do. And there are things that you need to do that are really, really nasty. But these things are important. They're important for, in this case, Germany, or they're important for Rome. But, you know, we have to do what we have to do. Because whatever may happen to us, there is a greater good. And the greater good is for our civilization, our team. We're going to win. You know, it's completely different to this useless modern shopping mall mentality, which is, you know, how much money can I stick into my bank account? All that matters is my bank account. And meanwhile, you're starting to think like a Jew, but while you're sticking money in your bank account, the country may be falling apart. We as a people are much deeper than that. We are not that kind of people. We will think about our country and about our future and even about the future of others in our country and our civilization over and above our personal interests. We are a deeper people. We're not a bunch of Jewish rats busy shoving money in our pockets and then when the country goes up in flames and blood that we're going to be running away. That is not what whites are. We're not that kind of people. So the song talks about all kinds of hardships they're going to face. But they're not going to let any of these things get them down. They say, we laugh about it and simply stop moving if they run into a minefield. There is nothing that's going to make them cry, nothing that's going to make them give up. They're determined and nothing gets them down. Hardship, danger, and death does not get them down. And they talk about how they will face all their obstacles and nothing will get them down. But if they should be so unlucky that they are killed, then it says, then our tank shall become an honorable iron grave. So that's a bit of a heavy ending, that, but it'll give you an idea of a manly approach to life, a determined approach to life, which I must tell you, in our situations, as our countries and our civilization is failing, I find that very refreshing. We've really got to get back to that kind of thinking. That's the kind of thinking that creates civilization. That's the kind of thinking that staves off disaster. That we know we've got hard things to do, and we're going to do all those hard, unpleasant things, and we're going to do it together, and we're going to do it with a smile on our face. Because we know that what we're doing is important, we know it's critically important, and it goes beyond our bank account. That even if we lose our lives, that we're doing it for all of our civilization. It's a completely different thinking to all this Jewish crap. That's why Jews are garbage who could never form a country. And the one country that they've got now, most everything that's there has been obtained through all kinds of trickery and constant stealing from Germans and stealing from Americans and all kinds of bullshit. They could only create a country using all kinds of tricks, lies, and bullshit. But our civilization, we've created dozens, if not hundreds, if not thousands of countries, and we've had to do it through blood, sweat, and tears. But our stuff works. And sometimes our stuff becomes enormous, and sometimes our stuff lasts for thousands of years. We have got a completely different mindset. We are not the same as them. We have nothing in common with scum. Another anthem that's good is the one known as Deutschland Lied, which is basically the song of Germany. And they say that this has been the anthem of Germany since 1922, except for a 7-year gap following World War II in West Germany. I like this song and I like the concept where it says Deutschland über alles. In other words, Deutschland above all else. It is really patriotic. It has a meaning to it. And this particular video doesn't have subtitles, but they've got Waffen-SS and others in here with Hitler, and I think it makes for a great video. So listen to Deutschland über alles. And the film footage is excellent. And again, there's a strong message of manliness, determination. I like it. It's not this weak crap where we now have to accept transgenders and diversity and all kinds of garbage. This is a different thing. This is a determination thing. This is probably closer to the Roman kind of thinking.
Über alles, über alles in der Welt.
So how cool was that, with all that film footage of the German troops marching, and when they really march really smartly like that, with their goose stepping and everything. It looks impressive, eh? And there you can see Hitler, and you can see the Roman Empire. The Roman Empire is back. It's now called the Third Reich. But it's looking good, eh? So what we're going to do is take a look at a song that comes from a movie. But this movie is about the Nazis. So in this movie, a Nazi boy is singing, and he sings a song that's called Tomorrow Belongs to Me. But it appears to me that this is simply an English version of a German song. Is a German song with a similar title, which is also about tomorrow is mine. But in this movie, it comes out well. And look at how this song is acted out and how everybody takes part, and it has an energy to it. So while it's a movie, the energy is believable. And the key is, as the song continues, you'll see all the Germans in the movie, how they get caught up in this, and it starts lighting their fire. So yes, it's a movie, but this is a pretty believable kind of a song and an emotion. And that's really what we need in our anthem. We need something that speaks to our hearts and souls and sets us on fire. That's really what we need. None of this groveling, losing crap. We need things that light fires and make us burn energy as a group.
The sun on the meadow is summery warm. The stag in the forest runs free. But gather together to greet the storm. Tomorrow belongs to me. The branch of the linden is leafy and green. The Rhine gives its gold to the sea. But somewhere a glory awaits unseen. Tomorrow belongs to me. The babe in his cradle is closing his eyes. The blossom embraces the bee. But soon says a whisper of eyes arise. Tomorrow belongs to me. Oh, Father and Fatherland, show us a sign. Your children have waited to see. The morning will come when the world is mine. Tomorrow be lost. Tomorrow be lost. Tomorrow be lost to me. Oh, Father and Fatherland, show us a sign. Your children have waited to see.
So how was that song, hey? And that boy starting his Nazi salute, and he's singing, tomorrow the world is going to be mine. The world. Ben Klassen of Creativity would have highly approved of that, eh? So it's a conquering kind of a theme, huh? Conquering. It's like the Romans. We're going to keep on winning, keep on conquering. We're going to carry on till the world is ours. Now you're talking. Now you're talking. This is not liberal shit. It's not, let's bring in all the useless farts from every other useless failing country. Bring all the scum and we are going to mix with the scum. No, it's we're going to conquer. We're going to conquer everybody. We're going to win. We're going to conquer. We're going to be awesome. That's what we're going to be. That's a whole different message. And there are two aspects to it. The one is just as a spirit lifter, like I want to feel good, and that's a good goal to go for. But of course, the other thing is that our DNA is the DNA of winners. We've been winning all along. And why are we now not winning in these last 80 to 100 years? It's only in the last century that we're not really winning anymore, that we're going backwards and we're becoming all weird and creepy. Until prior to that time, prior to World War I, we were never these wussified weaklings. Now boys want to go into girls' toilets. Now we are told we got to accept low IQ garbage as our equals and even our bosses. Whole different piece of message, hey? Things that are unpleasant, weak, weird, that's not normal. But these songs have got power in them. And that power speaks to our natural power that we have. We've always been winners, and we can be winners again. Consider our natural personality and compare it to others. For example, in America, you've got the blues music. Now, I don't like the blues kind of music at all. But look where it comes from. It seems to be pretty much an African-American thing, a black American thing. So it speaks about their souls and what is in their souls. And they are feeling miserable. Life is too much for them. And so that is where their music comes from. That is how they feel. They are born losers, and this music reflects their born loser side. By our nature, when I look at our history, by our nature, we are positive. For us, the sun will always shine. For us, tomorrow has to be better. If you look at our civilization and you look at the way we are, that is really our natural selves. And the other thing is, look at our approach to life. We expect progress. Here in Africa, the huge difference between blacks and whites is easy to see, because all whites in Africa get irritated by black failure. When you start seeing people are sloppy, this thing isn't working the way we used to work it, that thing isn't going the way it should, why are these people buggering around? And if you talk to other whites, then you'll discover that everyone is thinking the same way. And we get frustrated. We get frustrated, we get irritated, we get angry. And it's actually not that we are in the wrong. It is our natural personality, because we want things to work. And we all feel that. And we feel it in our various jobs. I felt it in computers, but you can see it in other fields as well. Like, I remember speaking to an Afrikaans engineer, and then he told me about meetings that he had with Eskom and all kinds of things, Eskom being electricity. And he said to me that he just couldn't go to those meetings anymore because he was just getting so freaking angry. And that is our natural personality. We get cross when things go wrong. We don't tolerate failure. When we know that a thing should be done this way, then we expect it done that way, and we get angry if it's not done that way. But it is that particular attitude that is the reason why we are successful, over and above the fact that you need the correct IQ and the correct aptitude in order to do a job. We, in our natural state, do not give jobs to incompetents. If you are incompetent, we won't give you the job. It is a natural part of our civilization that we think in terms of a meritocracy, that we give jobs to those who are best suited to it. We don't give jobs to people because there are bum chums. We don't give jobs to people because of skin color and all other kinds of weird shit. We give jobs to people because they are the best and we want to promote the best. If you look into our civilization's got a strong element of meritocracy to it. Democracy, Roman democracy, which is basically the basis for all democracy. Roman democracy is about succeeding and moving upwards and trying harder than the other person, and then whoever is best wins. That is how it works. If you look at Napoleon, and Napoleon's France. It was totally a meritocracy. Napoleon made it a big issue. And Hitler also functioned on a meritocracy. But if you look inside our countries, whether it's Rhodesians, Boers, Americans, British, Germans, French, Italians, it doesn't matter who it is. We all think like that, that there are some things where you put the best person. You don't go and put somebody there because he's got one leg. You put him there because he's best at the job. We've got a real no-nonsense attitude, and it includes ability and IQ. That is why we win, and that is why we get angry when things are not done properly. We've got our value system, and there's nothing wrong with our value system. Our value system has created endless numbers of countries. So I like those songs that I showed you, and I have a special feeling for that Roman song. I like the Roman marching song a lot. I like these German songs. But let me give you a song that might be my winner. And if anyone can find better songs, you're welcome to send them to me. I will consider them. I'll build up my collection. Maybe there will be a follow-up video on this sometime in the future. But here's the song that I would suggest is our racial anthem. So with this song, I want to surprise you. I'm not going to tell you who the singer is. I'm going to tell you nothing about it. I will discuss that afterwards. I will just give you a few warnings about this song. This is a pop song. It's a pop song that comes from Europe. This is a pop song that definitely was popular. The pop song's words on the screen were done by somebody who's not English. So some of the words are mistranslations. So the main error in this is that it shows you the word pray instead of play. So it's showing you pray instead of play. Otherwise, it's pretty accurate. And so I like it because you'll get to see the words. But like I say, someone who was not English did this. But otherwise, I like having it with the subtitles so that you can see and hear clearly the words that are sung. Now watch the audience and watch the singer and watch these whites and look at how much energy goes into this song. And look even at the audience who are just standing there and they start dancing to it. And look at how the people react. Look at the intensity of the singing. Look at how the audience reacts. Look at how the singers are putting their energy into this thing. This thing starts lighting everybody's fire. There's energy in this thing. Listen to the words of this song and compare it with the words from the other songs. And you will see it's a similar kind of a theme. It's more modern, but it's very much a similar kind of message. Watch how this thing builds up, and watch especially the ending. Watch how it ends. What is the final message there? What is the final message of this song? And I think this song speaks to our souls. This song really speaks to our souls big time. And it affects everybody there. And the way that it's done, even though it's in pop music, you'll see the similarities to the other songs. This thing has got energy, but watch the final ending. How does it end? What are the final words? And then we'll talk. So, here is my surprise winner for you.
Never give up, my friend. If you don't see the end, if you don't see the top, don't stop. We know you'll win. Every fight you fight, every game you play, you will reach the top. At the top, that is where you will stay. Give up, my friend. If you don't see the end, if you don't see the top, don't stop. We know you'll win. Every fight you'll fight, every game you play, you will reach the top. At the top, that is where you will stay. At the top, that is where you will stay.
So how cool was that? The singer is Helmut Lotti, and he's Belgian. I like a lot of his songs, but this is one of my biggest favorites from him. And it's done in style. It looks good. It's not bad, hey? In this age of zero standards, total failure, absolute garbage, this guy's got some style and it looks good. These are whites who are looking good, looking civilized, looking smart. Not bad. Not bad, eh? Even the music is almost a little bit military, and the way he walks and dresses, it's energy, it's nice, it's strength, hey? And did you notice how the entire crowd is humming to the tune, hey? They're humming and they're clapping, it speaks to them. My only complaint about the words of the song is that instead of it being "you'll win," it should be "we will win." We'll win. And it's not that when you get to the top, it's when we get to the top. We'll stay at the top eternally. We'll win every fight we fight, every game we play. But even so, the words are pretty cool. They're still winning words for a winning thing. I also like it where he says, "Never give up, my friend, even if you don't see the end." We need that kind of determination. It's almost like that Panzerlied. Similar concepts. We know you'll win. That's a lot like that Roman stuff from Roman supremacism. That we are born to win. For us to win is like water running downhill. So even if it doesn't look like we're winning, we know we're gonna win in the end. Because that's what we do. We win, we conquer, we rule. And I totally love the ending. All that energy. You will get to the top, and at the top you will stay. That's just like the Roman legions. Victory eternally. So I don't think this song is going to be easy to beat. I don't think any of these songs are going to be easy to beat, but people are welcome to send me songs. I will always look at them and listen to them. And if I see something that's of value that I can use, I definitely will. But I think this gives you a bit of an idea for things that work with us, that work with our spirits, our minds. We're not a race of babies. We're winners. We've always been winners. And we need to get back to our winning streak again. It's only now with Jews around that we've got this huge losing streak for 100 years. So I'm going to leave you with Helmut Lotti again. And it will end off with the Roman marching song. I got to tell you, the Roman marching song really speaks to me. I like that thing a lot. And even that Panzerlied is very good. The words in that Panzerlied is excellent. And tomorrow the world will be mine. All of these things, good songs, good solid songs. We don't need to be the blues. We don't need to feel miserable because we're losers. We're not losers, we're winners, and we got to think like winners. And our ancestors were huge winners, from the Aryans right through all of our existence. We've never been weak, pathetic scum. For us, there's always a future. The sun will always shine. It will always be bright in our lives. That is how our ancestors used to view things. Nobody was sitting and crying about stuff. As for our modern racial enemies, we're going to kick their asses 6 ways to Sunday. So enjoy, and we'll be chatting again.
You will win every fight, every game.
give up, my friend. If you don't see the end, if you don't see the top, don't stop. We know you will. Every fight you fight, every game you play, you will reach the top. At the top, that is where you will stay. Give up, my friend. If you don't see the end, if you don't see the top, don't stop. We know you'll win. Every fight you fight, every game you play, you will reach the top. At the top, that is where you will stay. At the top, that is where you will stay.
Thank the Lord, you thank the whites. We gave you Breaking Bad and all the songs by Creed, all the cast of Friends and trash like Tara Reid, a virtual world of porn so you can spill your seed. Ray-Ban glasses, leggy blondes with tiny asses, frisbee sports and fancy coffee too, energy efficient lights. And so for all this awesome, neat, wonderful stuff, you know you don't thank the Lord, you thank the whites.
Thank the whites, you know you don't.